Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
I'm doing
author is Terry E. Lyle. I want to thank all my listeners from north to south, east to west, and all my global listeners in the 28 countries that support us. And before the show gets started, I just want to ask for prayers to go out to my co-host, Chris Michael Ward, today. His love of his life, his partner, passed away. And it's just so hard, you know, when someone just died unexpectedly. And his partner, Mark Robinson, my sympathy goes out as well to your family, and especially you, Chris. But everyone, send some good vibes his way, because the road is going to get rougher before it gets better. Everyone has experienced death, but can't nobody say enough to help you get through it. You just got to take your time and do what you need to get past it, not what somebody else wants you to get past in a certain time frame. So, Chris, take your time. You ain't got to come back to the show until you're ready. I love you, and if I was there, I wish I could be there to comfort you and hug you and help you get through this. But right now, the show must go on, and the show tonight, oh, my Lord, this show is awesome. Our special guest, Jackie Charles, man, she is going to share this horrific ordeal that she had to suffer through as a human trafficker victim. And right now, a lot of people are not believing that this is real here in the United States. It don't just happen in Dubai and England and UK, other places. It's happening right here on our soil. And if you remember when Hillary Clinton was going through the changes of trying to be elected president, she was talking about that then, you know, it's more prevalent. It's happening in Mexico. It's happening in California. It's happening in places you least expect it to happen. And it's happening really a lot in Atlanta, you know. So I appreciate this young lady to open up her heart to share stuff with you, so that if you see some signs or symptoms that something don't seem right, run. You know, get out, do what you got to do. Let somebody know when you're going out and about. I'm going to be here for this amount of time. Here's my phone number, da-da-da-da-da. If anything happens to me, check my fingernail bits, because I will definitely leave some kind of clue. I'm not just going out without a fight. So without further ado, I just want to thank my special guest for being that strong woman that can open up and share this horrible, horrible situation with all my listeners. So, you know, I'd like to welcome, with no further ado, Miss Jackie Charles. How you doing, darling?
Hey. How you doing? Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine, baby, and I know your throat is a little raw, so I'm not going to tax you too hard.
No, that's okay. Look, you can bring it. You can bring it. First of all, I want to give praise to God above. I want to thank you for being on your show, and we're sending healing prayers, healing thoughts to your co-host.
Thank you so much. That's precious. I really appreciate that, and I know he do as well. You know, when he told me, man, all I could do is cry, you know. And, you know, if I'm crying real hard, and that's his love of his life, you can imagine his world just probably fell apart. I just wish someone could be there for him, you know, as he go through. You know, and it's a myth that some people think that victims that are trafficked, there are only females, and I know that's not true. They have males as well. And so for all the parents, guardians, young people listening, teenagers or whatever, don't get complacent and think that if you're a male, you're not going to be targeted, because they can use you to make money just like they use a female. So I'm just going to get that clear before I start asking a lot of questions I hope that I'm asking on your behalf. And my first question is, how old were you when this happened?
I was around 15.
Wow.
I was around 15 and in New York. And it started a little bit before then, because with most people, it's people who they don't know, but it started initially in the house by a female family member. That's where it originally started. And then I ran away, when it, because this was in New York. Back then, it wasn't called sex trafficking. It wasn't called human trafficking. You know, now they're adding a name to it, you know. So that's how my incident started. So as I said, I'm an open book, you know. So when I see these young girls, and you're right, young boys are involved in this too, you know, you got to make sure you have conscious conversation. But not everyone can say it was a family member that got them started into this.
But, you know, that's pretty bad that somebody that you trusted, your parents trust, you know, coming in and out, smiling in your face, that's pretty low down for somebody to do that. And I can imagine, like you said, they put a name to this situation. I guess back then they just probably want to say it was a pragmatic runaway, you know. And as far as that go, did you feel that was you at a party with somebody and they left you? Did somebody spike your soda? Or, I mean,
Like I said, it first started in my household with a sibling. That's how it started, because, you know, selling my virginity, trying to sell my virginity, and then going out on a date with someone that they arranged the date with for me, and then the person proceeded to wanting to rape me and take my virginity. And it was, but they didn't get there. They were told, they bought it from my sibling, and then they took me out, so they thought they were going to get some. I didn't know anything about this. So that's how that proceeded. So my thing is, you know, when you said it was horrible, I promise you, yes, at the time, but now I look at it, it's not what happened to me, it happened for me, because now I'm a better person because of it. You know what I'm saying? So Yes, it was bad at the time, but now I don't look at it that way, because I think if I looked at it that way, I wouldn't have forgiven. You know, I don't have conversations with that person because, yes, you're right, that was dirty and low down, but I had to forgive them because I had a lot of hate in my heart afterwards. So I had to forgive.
Well, I know, Jackie, that for me, when I was contemplating way back in the day with my ex-husband to lose my virginity, that was something I fought like it was a chastity belt. No one was getting close to that, you know, because it was just something instilled in my mind by my parents. No sex, you're too young, da, 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 da. So it must be pretty bad when you realize that a relative, a sibling, is going to get paid because they're trying to pimp you out. And then what did they do? They get mad because you was able to get away? And how did you get away from the person who was trying to...
Well, what happened was, the story goes, and I should have known something was happening, but I was like, I was green. I wasn't like,
right.
You know,
naive.
I was green and sheltered. Right, naive. So what happened
was... You was naive, baby.
Exactly. So what happened was, they was like telling me, hey, such and such want to take you out. Then I'm like, but I don't want to go out with them. So my sister, I'll put it out there, my sister, and this is the first show I've ever really revealed that to, was my sister.
Mm-hmm.
So when I took a shower, she was lotioning up my body. And when I think about it, I'm like, so she was fattening me up for the kill. Yep, she was. That's why to this day I don't like smelling the lotion, Chloe, okay? So she lotioned me up and everything, dressed me, put on the finest wares. And I'm like, well, we going to the movies. Why got to? Thank you. So I'm like, why you get me dressed up like this? And I'm like, dressed up like I'm going to bucking. I'm talking about I had a silk taffeta skirt, a nice silk top. And I'm like, what is this? So anyway, he comes and picks me up. We're going to the movies, and I see him make a detour. And I'm like, where we going? He's like, I got to stop at my apartment because I got to go do something. So I'm sitting in the car. He's like, you need to come upstairs. I'm like, I don't need to come upstairs. I'll sit in the car. And I'm like, and he was way older than me. And I'm like, I don't need to come upstairs. He's like, you don't want to use the bathroom or eventually come upstairs. So I'm like, nah. So he's like, nah, come on. Now, mind you, this is friend. He's a friend of hers. So I think it's someone I can trust, you know, because you think about this. I mean, I want these listeners to understand this. Usually when you're the younger sister and you may have a sister who has a friend and you may have a little crush on him, and you know what I'm saying? So you figured, okay, so oh my, it's like the high school jock. And you're like, oh, my God, I get to go out with him. You're not thinking about sex. You're not thinking about kissing.
Like he's being 15 and he's showing you some interest. Like, wow, because I felt like when somebody showed me some interest, like I'm so stupid. I was like, oh, wow, they're looking at little old me, and you feel impressed because because you don't know.
And it, right, and because it wasn't like going anywhere. It was just like just going to the movies. So we stopped at his house. So then he's like, come on up. So I said, okay, come on, Jackie, go on up. So I'm talking to myself. I get upstairs. Then next thing I know, he shuts the door. I go in the bathroom, right? I'm in the bathroom, and I hear him on the phone because back then we didn't have cell phones, remember, had house phones. Next thing I know, I come out of the bathroom. Homeboy's trying to kiss on me, trying to feel on me, and I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. And I kept pushing him off and pushing him off, and finally he got upset and told, this is exactly what he said, I paid for this vagina, but he didn't use the V word, he used the P word. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Girl, when I'm telling you, we running around. So I go back in the bathroom and I'm crying. And then he told me that my sister, he paid my sister some money for it. And I'm like, what? So what happened was he had a phone call. When he had a phone call, I ran out because I saw how the house was situated because we were running around. So I finally get out of the bathroom and I run through to the door. He didn't have the chain on because back then in New York, they had the chain. They had the thing you put. Thank you. So he didn't have all of that. So what happened was I could run downstairs, and in those apartments back in the day, the super always lived on the first floor, and it was always right next to the end while you're leaving. So I'm ringing the doorbell, you know. So at that time what happened was I had ran away from my house because I wasn't getting along with my stepmother. I went to go live with my sister, and my sister was doing all of this stuff to me. So eventually, I couldn't take what she was doing. I ran away from her house. I remember I called the police. And when I called the police, back then in the day, you know, that's when phones was a quarter. And you can call 911 or zero. And the police department told me, that we had to need to go. So I went to a shelter. But they had to do intake, and it was taking so long. So before they did intake, so I was out in the street until they got up to my number and stuff. And when you're in the intake during the days, you have to either go to school or be out. And if you come past curfew, you got to spend the night out in the street. And sometimes they kick you out. So that began my life of living on the street, being homeless, being part of sex trafficking. I met a lot of women who would have sex with the guys for me because a lot of the white men love seeing the light skin, dark skin kind of thing. They loved that for some reason. So I was in Manhattan, and a lot of the guys would ask us to come in the car, would tell us to come in the car, drive over the bridge, which was Jersey, and it would be them nasty motels. And I've met so many women who would tell these, because these guys are paying for both of us, and a lot of these women would say, you know, these pimps, these women would say, nah, she's young, let her go in the bathroom. And one girl got beat up because I refused to do anything. I stayed in the bathroom, and after she did what she did, he beat the hell out of her. So then began my life of being involved in human trafficking, and the pimps wanted to, you know, you're going to sleep with this one, you're going to sleep with that one. But I'm going to tell you right now, when I say God was watching over me, God was watching over me. Because back in those days, those women took a lot of those penises for me. You hear me? Even though these men were paying to get two people, it's horrible out there. People don't know. That's why I can pick up signs. I can see, and now it's more prevalent because back then, they didn't call it sex trafficking. They didn't call it human trafficking. You know what I'm saying? So it was tough. It was tough.
But, you know, they probably just called it prostitution. But, you know, I'm grateful that them other women knew that you was a baby, and they took a butt whip on your behalf. And, you know, but at some point, did you find yourself sleeping with these guys because you needed to eat? You didn't have any money. You know, even if you had a pinch, you still take all your money.
Well, let me tell you, here's an incident I had where this guy really was cool with me. And he said, you know what, you can come live with me. But I told him I did not want to have sex. So what he decided to do is, okay, we're not going to have sex, but I need to do this. So he would pull his pants down and rub up against me like his penis would touch like my vagina, but not go in. So those kind of things I had to endure.
Wow. Well, I got to say, in my opinion, I still think you're lucky because with all these perverts out there, you know, a lot of people, they want the younger women because they are naive. You know, they want to feel like they're in control. They are taking their virginity. It makes them feel good, but, you know, they're a bunch of creeps. Anytime you look at a child, a baby, because 15, you a baby as somebody desirable. I don't care how cute you look. I don't care how they dress you up. These people are responsible for their choices. And, my God, everybody got a female cousin, a sister, a mom, a, you know, daughter. I mean, who looks at somebody that's a baby? And you know that they're not mentally aware of the dark side of the world and take advantage of them. But through all of it, you know, like you said, the guy, he likes to rub up against you and he finishes himself off. And, you know, you're right. God was watching over you because, like you said, them other women was getting beat up. And, you know, you definitely had an angel. But, you know, I don't want to make people think that this is going to be okay, this is going to be their story, because it's not. You know, they might get that story that, you know, I've seen on TV, on those shows about human trafficking, where women, they are chained into a room, you know, as a whole bunch of them, and they tell each other stuff about each other to make each other scared of each other, so they won't, you know, they'll let him know if they're trying to get out, because they play each other against each other, and, you know, they may have several partners in one day, whether it's sodomy, whether it's just a missionary, or whatever the case may be. Oh, my goodness. So how long
Well, I've seen that. I've seen that, but what people need to understand, majority of women who are being caught, because I'm in Georgia, and in Georgia it's a high count of human trafficking because of the corridors and the, you know, the big trucks. We have Tennessee and all of that, and you know Georgia and Tennessee and Florida. But what people need to realize is men that are getting women into it, just like the Epstein case that people are seeing that's going on now. It's women that are leading other women into it, you know. So you're in a restaurant and you're hungry, and someone they can smell through the pheromones that you're needing something. You come off the bus from another city and you look lost. It's not the shows that you see on television where the man walks up to the girl. It's a girl that's getting you involved in this. It's a false sense of security, and they're getting paid for this. That's why for me it's important for, you know, watching that whole Epstein thing, and they're talking about all these people who are involved in these sex islands, like the Clintons and all that kind of stuff. But I just want people.
President Trump, all of them.
So I just want people to understand it's women that are, unfortunately, it's women that are bringing these young babies, that are bringing them into this.
And you know why they use women? I assume that because people let their guard down, because people don't want to really see women as evil, you know, and they feel like it's a woman, she's going to be nurturing like a mom should be, and that's why they get caught up, you know. And what's the difference, I mean, with that thin line, it appears to me, for a pimp having a prostitute opposed to someone who is human trafficking? There's a difference that human trafficking, they sometimes get shipped out of the country so they can't get back or whatever. Here's
the difference with the pimp. The pimp is, when it comes to that, the pimp is, you're getting some money as a prostitute. You're getting to keep some money. When it comes to the sex trafficking, human trafficking, you ain't getting nothing. You're just a vessel, you know. And with this thing, the coronavirus, a lot of these women, you know, it's worse because these pimps are beating up on them, or whomever is their controller is beating up on them. They're not going out. So at least when they're going out there, some of them, you know, smell good, some don't. You know what I'm saying? So there's a difference. The pimp is like, okay, you can make a little something. But when you have that other side where it's just, okay, I'm just the human trafficking, you know, supplier and things like that, they don't care. You know, I've seen women who taking it at one after another, and I'm trying to find the women who are out on the streets with me. One person told me, one of the ladies I was looking for, they told me she died of AIDS, and during that time, that was the AIDS epidemic, okay? So when I say it's by the grace of God, we had, We had a guy drive us over to Jersey over the bridge. He was so pissed at us, he left us in Jersey and drove back to Manhattan to drive to walk over that bridge. It was raining. I'll never forget that. So, you know, I'm not trying to make it sound like, oh, I'm both. Huh?
Why did he leave y'all in Jersey? What did y'all do wrong?
No, you mean what we did right. Because the girl, the lady I was with, she was Creole, and that's when I fell in love with people from Louisiana. She was Creole. We decided on how much he was going to pay us. But when we got over to Jersey, he started talking janky, like, oh, he didn't have this, he didn't have that. Now, mind you, supposed to do something. But she was one of them girls, oh, she was going to pull out a shank because she was no joke. So when we got over to the hotel, he just drove off and left us there because I think he knew that if he had that kind of same kind of talk in the hotel room, that it was going to be a problem. But see, here's the issue. That one girl used to take a lot of beatings, because I'm telling you, if they have no money, would take some beatings, because you already had your people lined up on who you was going to do it. Because I'm telling you, it was a fine line between pimping and sex trafficking. And when I start to put things together, because it was like maybe 7 years ago, because what I did was I locked everything up, closed it in my back door of my brain. Then I started to have panic attacks. Then stuff would start to trigger me since I was in the medical field. And then I started seeing a therapist, and everything started coming out. My sister, I reached out to her, telling her that we need to talk about this. She don't want to talk about it. She totally wants to forget about it.
Like it didn't happen?
Act like it didn't happen. I finally told my niece, which is her daughter, and her daughter was in such shock. And, you know, that because they knew, because when I did come back from running away, my family knew. I told them what was going on and everything, but I never disclosed. It was my sister that got me involved in it, never disclosed. So things are starting to come out. And but I reached out to her, and I said, because she would call me. One time she called me like everything was okay, but my heart wasn't in it, because I'm one of those, if we got issues, don't talk to me until we settle those issues. And
okay.
She refused to even, so now I can't be bothered with her. I love her from a distance, and, it's just fucked up how your family, the people closer to know you, are the ones who can really mess with you.
Well, don't tell me that your sister was that broke or y'all was that poor that she needed the money by trying to give up her sister. You know,
No. Quite the contrary. Most people who get involved in that, people think it's always poor people. Oh, no. The Clintons look kind of rich, don't they? Trump's rich,
right.
Ain't he? So it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with power. And then I found out, which I kind of knew, but I wasn't sure, but I was convinced it was a resentment that my sister had towards me. She deep down hated me, even though she don't want to admit it. But you don't do that to somebody you love. You know, I'm telling you, I went through hell and back. So when I would hear, and here's the thing, and I'm going to keep it real here. Nowadays, young girls are going to Dubai and having men defecate on them. I actually saw that. I saw that. See, my story's not so great for me to give up all these things, because for me, I would tell people sometimes some of the things that happen to other women, it would make my life more interesting. But God was watching me. I saw that. So now when I hear girls are going to getting $20,000 for men defecating on them, I saw that.
What you're saying is true, because I'm not going to say who the person is, because this person told me they was offered like a couple of $100 to poop on this other person. And then the other person wanted them to rub it in, and that's when they drew it, said, nope, I can do this, but I'm not putting my hands and rubbing it in. And, you know, fetishes, oh, my God, there are some strange fetishes, and that is one of
strange and disgusting. That's not strange. That's disgusting. So now when you see a lot of the Instagram models and they talk about it, a lot of the Instagram models that's on Instagram, and they have the booties and the breasts, and you see them in these homes and stuff that they've gotten, a lot of them will go once a year to Dubai. They had a young lady, and it hurt my heart that she had no family, no one to help her. So her friend told her, come on, we can make $20,000, and they're going to deposit $10,000 in your bank account before you you come. They deposited $10,000 in her account. She goes over to Dubai, goes on this, you know, one of these sheik's yachts. They go on the sheik's yacht, and they wanted to defecate on her because her friend never told her. They start to do that. She's like, oh, no. They knocked her out, beat her the hell up, knocked her out, and continue to defecate on her. Yeah. Not her defecating on them. They pay that for you, for them to defecate on you. Yep, because they love doing that with these black girls now. Yep.
I'm glad she made it back home. You know, since you never was taken out of the country, these young women and young men, what advice can you tell them? Because I know that if I was to tell a person in my family, a teenager or whatever, you know, sometimes your family members are never heard. There always got to be somebody else to tell the story before they finally listen. And this is serious. You know, I want everybody to recognize this is really happening. This is not no TV movie fit for your TV. This is the real deal. This is going on as we speak.
That's true. And I don't want anyone, I don't care what's going on, because the pandemic virus, it's even worse because now we're seeing more cases of, because we're seeing abuse in the household. And just in Georgia a couple of weeks ago, they found, they stopped a car or a truck, and it was like 20 people in there, and they were a sex trafficking ring. It's still happening, whether the coronavirus or not, it's still happening. My advice would be, first of all, you love yourself, and it has nothing to do with not loving yourself, but I don't want people who go through this to think that they're dirty, they can't get married. I'm married, as of October, I'm married 30 years, okay, 30 years. So don't think that you're not worth, you know, don't think that you're worthless. You know, you're not worthless. And always know that there's, have faith. You know what I'm saying? And be able to talk to people. Because back then, it was just me and her and me and some of the girls. You can talk to anybody. You know what I'm saying? And people look at you. So now, and I also want the listeners to understand, look for the signs. When you're in the bathroom with someone and they, you feel like something's not right, call the police. If you see a young girl with an older man or a young girl look like she's scared and she's with someone, there isn't anything wrong with calling the police, because the worst case scenario, the police can come and investigate. And then they can realize whether it's yay or nay. You know what I'm saying? Because there's signs that they'll give you. They'll look you. There's signs that they'll give you. But we're so busy worrying about our own life that we're not looking to what's happening. And it could be very well happening in your family as well. You know what I'm saying? So you got to keep that eye open. So my advice would be to that person is, you know, find a way to escape. It's easier said than done, because sometimes they brainwash you. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody wants you, your family don't want you, and all of that. And they're using women to do that. The second thing I'd like to tell the person out there is, do not give up on women. A woman may have betrayed you, but please know that there's other women out there that love and support you.
Right. So, you know, this is so sad that the numbers are going up so much that it's making the news more than it did before. But do you know anything about the ones that are taken out of the country? Because usually, by what is portrayed on television, these women don't have a choice to come back home. What advice could you do for a person that's snatched right away, other than scream? I would say, I wouldn't scream help, I would scream fire. Because people are so worried about their property, they might come out and you know, protect you. You scream help. A lot of people don't want to get involved, you know. And I heard, you know, how they have these people inside of these trailers and everything. And sometimes when they're brought into the country or the country they're going to, they're sitting, they're hot. A lot of people are dead. They don't even make survive the trip, you know. It's just horrible, the stuff that I've heard about.
Well, here's... Before we get there, this is what we need to do. We need to make sure that these young girls, you know, whether in our family, every family member needs to, young girls and boys, because we can't forget the boys, we need to make sure that we're communicating. Because here's another way how it starts. You leave these kids on social media because now you ain't got time with your child, so you keep your child on social media, you give them the tablet. So you have these people infiltrating their social media pages like they're a six-year-old boy and all that kind of stuff. So then they go and meet, they try to find out about these young girls and boys. They try to infiltrate. They meet them someplace, and that's how they snatch them. Right? So be involved as parents and siblings, not just the parents, siblings involved in these younger people's lives. Now, the issue is very rare when they get snatched and go to another country, or they come back home. If they don't find you within 24 hours, you can forget it. You're not coming back. And I'm going to keep it real. You're not coming back. Okay? It's more money for them, because before it was the white young girls that they wanted, but now they're selling black girls also to Africa, to Dubai's and places like that. So, yes, scream fire, but before we even talk about being snatched, it's the families, it's for the family to have this conversation with these kids. Watch with the social media, because that's what's happening. Look at how many of these pedophiles are coming online, and they're not just having sex with these kids, they're selling them.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, these pedophiles, they're up there on these media sites pretending that they're younger than what they are, to make that person think, oh, wow, and like, you know, catfishing, they have a different picture, they're not who they say they are. You know, people need to understand, you know, these young people, they think that once they become teenagers, they know it all. And I try to stress to my grandkids, look, you've been on this planet for a small length of time. Trust my wisdom that I know what I'm talking about, because I'm going to look for things that you don't look for. And then if you're hanging out with people that's way too old for you, that's the problem right there too, you know, because...
That's the problem. But parents, here's another thing too, what parents need to do. As I mentioned, monitor social media, because you have to make sure you know what's going on. And here's the other thing. Take off your location off your phone. What I mean by that is, if you're going to be at a... You post everything on social media. I got to... You know, I have three kids, just like you have those cars. People who have cars, stop putting your kids on those stickers, because there's these things that when you're driving a car, you'll see like the dog, the three kids, and the mom and the dad. Stop putting that on those cars, okay? Because people are looking at that. Then you, let's say you go out for the night. You already post on social media, I have three kids. My son is John, he's 13. My daughter is Lisa, she's 12. And then you're posting that, oh, I'm going to such and such party. So, and people may know where you live or may figure out where you live. All they need to do is see your child at a playground, because they showed you a sting case with that where, you know, and I have to humor me to tell this quick story. It was in Louisiana. They had a news camera set up, and what they did was they was following this woman who lived in Louisiana on social media. They went to the little boy's baseball game, and they said, hi, Larry, my name is John. And Larry's like, I'm not allowed to talk to strangers. And they're like, what do you mean you're not allowed to talk to strangers? I'm friends with your mom. I know the name of your team. I know what you like. I know what you wore to school yesterday, because your mom talked to me. She tells me a lot of things about you. I know who your favorite teacher is. And then what happens? The little boy was going away with the sting operation. And then when they showed the mother the video, she could not believe it.
You know,
so you've got, as parents, you've got to stop putting on that. You've got to stop putting on those notifications.
And I'm going to iterate to these adults out here. When you see something, like you said, Jackie, see something that looks like a person with another person, you look scared and afraid, nervous, you know, call the police or just stop the person and say, what are you doing here, girl? Where's your mother at? And grab the person away, you know, and trust and believe. If they're in trouble, that child will want to go with you because they can't speak up. You know, they've probably been threatened. But we need to be on alert to things that just don't look right. We got to stop that mentality. It don't concern us. We got to help each other out. We're all a world family. You know, we got to see something, do something, speak up. You're speaking up about the wrong stuff around here. Speak up for the right stuff.
I agree. And we have to get back to, because remember, when we were in a community, we didn't have this in the 70s when people, you know, when we all got together, or 80s, you know what I'm saying? Because I was young back then, but still, there was a village. There's no more village. It's the me, myself, and I mentality. We got to stop that. We got, because, you know, the life you save may not be your own, but it may be your neighbor's. We got to start get back into, that's why I love the Black Lives Movement thing that's happening where, okay, everybody's getting involved. White folks, everybody's getting involved in it. But we need to take charge of our community. Because I'm telling you, guys, you don't, if you have only seen some of the stuff that I've seen, it's a miracle I'm not in the Looney Tune. You know, thank God I had a great therapist to help me through this. You know what I'm saying? Because it was so much that I locked away that when I sat with my therapist to unpack it, it's a miracle I didn't have a nervous breakdown.
Right. But you know something, Jackie? You was right when you say back in the day it was a village, because I understand, because if I was outside and doing something I had no business doing, my neighbors could beat my tail, bring me home, and my parents can beat my tail some more. But now if you say something to somebody else's child or touch them, they want to get in your face and cuss and want to fight. Mind your business, you know, they get ugly. You know, so I get it, you know. But you know something, I might get in trouble, but I'm going to still open my mouth. If I see something that's inappropriate to me, I'm going to talk, because it's our responsibility as adults to help these children get to maturity. So, you know, whatever it's going to be, I'm going to be out there trying to be a champion for the ones who need some help, because I don't like it. It's wrong. But I got to take a little small break, and I'll be back in about 2 and 2. Stay with us.
Eventually, the truth will come out of the darkness for everyone to see.
Hello? Hey, it's Mike. Hey, how y'all doing? Oh, yeah, everything's good. It's just been really good. Sorry I haven't been here this week. Yes. Oh, I forgot, but I will be there this week. Right now.
There are times in your life when your faith will be challenged.
Hey man, I want to share something with you. I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He's been really wonderful to me. Don't you agree?
I feel like I'm my own God. But things that's been happening to me, I feel like I've been making those things happen.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you don't believe in God?
Well, I haven't seen it.
The truth can come in shocking form.
Who is this, Ma? Oh, hell no. I know ain't nobody up in my house when I'm at work all day, going day.
Terry E. Lyle. Check out her website and on Blog Talk Radio every Friday at 7:30 p.m.
Well, welcome back, everyone. My special guest, Jackie Charles. Well, we're running out of time. Is there anything you would like to tell our listeners how to reach you? Or
sure. Well, I have a company that's called Women Are Worthy, and I have a show called The Women Are Worthy Show. So, you know, if they want to reach out to me, they can reach out to me on Instagram, The Women Are Worthy Show, or Facebook, The Women Are Worthy Show. So what I'm doing now, because of what happened to me in the past, I'm mentoring young girls and young boys. So that's what I'm doing, and I'm plant-based. I'm just loving life. So my scars doesn't my past doesn't dictate my future, and I'm what healed looks like. So that's you know, what I do right now, and what I'm loving, the life that I'm living.
Amen. And like everyone know about Unmasked, once you be on the show, you can always come back, because this is home. And don't be afraid that, you know, you won't hear no more from Jackie, because she's coming back the first week in August, and she got something else she want to share with us. So I appreciate
yes,
you.
Yes, yes.
Oh, baby. Well, you have a blessed weekend. You stay safe and you stay healthy. And can't wait till you come back first Friday in August. And you take care of yourself, darling. And everybody else, say a prayer for my co-host, Chris. All right. Thank you, baby.
We too.